I wanted to talk a little bit about your jobs. I know you've already talked a little bit about being a waitress and things.
Yeah,
but
I love that.
What did you do when you first moved to Cooperstown?
I went to work at the Smart... Well, for a while, I didn't have any job. I kind of liked being at the farm for a while. I'm watching... And going to an auction where they sold cows, which I'd never been to before. And if you want to go and have some fun, you got to go to one of those auctions. The description of a cow is almost embarrassing at that time, you know. And the word teats should have been used instead of the other word. And my uncle... who lived in Cooperstown and had all these dairy farm and everything, he would look over at me and my face would be bright red, and he would look over and he would laugh, and he'd say later, "Did you have a good time at that auction?" And I just thought living here was the neatest thing. It was the happiest day when I moved to Cooperstown. I loved it. I loved being here. And It's just a very, especially, I gotta say that I know a lot of people on Main Street now. Everybody says, well, a lot of newcomers come. And these newcomers are pretty nice. There's a few here out to gouge people by their rent. But when you see them and they ask for the high rent, you see somebody come in and think they're going to make money on baseball. But by the end of the season, they can't afford to pay the rent because the rents are so high, and some of them just have to say, "I can't do it," and, "Can you lower the rent?" And somebody says, "No, can't." And I know one group just up and left in the middle of the night. But you can't be greedy. If you want to, I love my tenant, Herrick Gibbons. I think he's wonderful. He's good to people down in the store. As I've told him, he's keeping the reputation up of Clark's Men Shop for the way he treats his customers. And he has people that just come in and say hello and talk to him, too. So I'm very, very fortunate. He has been down there. I've had two tenants since 1988. That's all.
Wow. So can you tell me a little bit about what it was like to work at Bassett Hospital?
Oh, I keep saying I loved everything, but I guess I did. I didn't realize it, how much I loved my life. Bassett was wonderful. It was small. There was no outpatient building. It was just the main building. And as I say, I'm very lucky to have Bassett because I've got two sons where, by rights, I don't know, you know, if they'd been anywhere else, whether I'd still have them. But Bassett was very small. You knew all the doctors. You knew the doctors' dispositions. If you were called to one of the... I worked at the record room. You had to go around and hand out. And you knew just as soon... And you went into the doctor's office, and you put the record on his desk. And... you knew by the looks. You either just left it or you could say good morning. But it was, and you knew every doctor in the place, and you knew most all the nurses, and you knew the clerks. And it's big now.
Yeah. How did you get your job there?
Well, after doing waitress work that one summer, and... I didn't know what I was going to do, and I didn't like just sitting around. So they had a little snack, just coffee shop. So I volunteered to work at the coffee shop. And what was I, 20, 21, 21 maybe? And somebody in the hospital said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Nothing." I said, "That's why I'm here." I said, "I just hate sitting around." And I said, "Well, you know, is there some..." openings in this hospital. And I said, really? Yeah. So I applied and I got one of the jobs.
And what did you do? What were your daily duties?
The record room, it was taking care of charts. It was typing. It was getting charts ready, the doctors. And it was all handwork or type work at that time. And putting in lab reports and like things like that, keeping the record up to date. And now it's all on. Now it's all on laptops. No paperwork. And it's okay until the laptop goes down.
So can you tell me a little bit more about your coworkers and the doctors?
They were good friends. Co-workers were good friends. In fact, two of my co-workers were in my wedding party. I don't remember anything but good days working at Bassett. Hectic sometimes. When it got hectic is when in the summertime when they had what they called bean pickers come in, and every weekend there would be probably fights among the bean pickers, maybe a knifing or something like that. And that was up Richfield. They had a lot of the little bit of bean pickers. They're big, long buildings where the people stayed. And
so what does that mean, bean pickers?
They came and picked beans.
Oh, what kind of beans?
I didn't... String beans.
Oh, okay. And where did they come from?
All over.
Okay.
You know, they travel from one place to another and seasonable.
So it was a job for somebody who didn't have a lot of skills? Yeah. Or...
It's the only time I remember seeing any black people around. It was in the summer.
And where did they do this?
At different farms. Okay. Richfield Springs had a lot of them.
And then they would...
Well, it was the same way, only that picture here... That was probably, if you can see the hops in the back, that's when they had the hop pickers come in.
Okay.
And the farmers would take them in, and they'd have big suppers and things like that for them.
And this picture is your family, and they were hops
Part
pickers?
Of them. Part of them. This is like a great-grandmother in here, but some of them in here, but a lot of them, it's like the hop pickers... And plus some of the people. Now, my mother came as a girl. She remembers picking hops.
What was that like?
Picking the hops?
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Gee whiz. You got to go to the farmer's museum.
Yeah.
Well.
What would they do?
You can see the hops behind this in this picture. Okay, and they'd be on poles.
Okay.
Okay. And then there would be two... It would be two standards on the side. They would pull a pole, and they have a thing there, like a belt, and that would pull that pole up. You've seen the poles up there with the hops on them at the museum.
Right. Okay.
Someday you better go watch that. It's really good. And then they would put it across this basket. And this big, in fact, there's one up there, and you've got to see it. Like a big bin. And then they would just take the hops off. And I can remember my mother saying, if you shook the basket, you got in trouble. Because the hops settled. And apparently, you get so much money for a basket. But if you shook it, the hops would settle. So... But anyway, hop picking is good, and I know more about it a little bit because I worked at the museum, but I can remember my mother telling me about the hops, and in Pierstown is where my aunt lived, great aunt lived.
And your mom lived here, too.
Yeah, when she was a girl.
And so her whole side of the family were hops farmers.
Well, you got to remember, she moved when she was young.
Okay.
And then most of her family, all my cousins and everything, were in New Jersey.
Okay.
Very close family.
Do you know how your family got into picking hops? Or just hop farming?
Well, some of them had the farms with okay. the hops on them.
Okay.
There was a Tahir family, and they, hops was, well, it was the biggest industry in Otsego County in New York State. You got to look into that.
Yeah.
That's another whole story. I mean, we could go on for about the hops for probably another hour.
Well, is there anything you want to tell me about your family and the hops?
No, only what I hear from, you know, from my mother and my grandmother and what a good time it was and a lot of work it was and how much work it was for the farmer's wife that had to do a lot of the cooking for everybody.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, because they had to feed these people, too.
Oh, so
but it wasn't like the ones them. Like the ones in Richfield. They had these big, long houses, and they fed themselves and everything, going way back with the farmers when they had people come in and help. They fed them and took care of them. And then it's a whole different thing of some of the others coming in to pick beans and stuff like that. And that's different. That living isn't very good.
Yeah. Do you think that it's the same nowadays? There's
no, you don't see it now.
Yeah.
None of those buildings are there. Wait a minute. My sister-in-law did say in Richfield there was still some of the remnants of some of those buildings. That was not a good way to live. That kind. This was different.
Yeah.
This was more or less a festive.
So the hops,
yeah.
Were they men that would come and pick?
Women, too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just a seasonal thing?
Yeah. Okay. When your hops were ready, yeah. And the blossoms, people picked the blossoms. Then they dried the blossoms. Oh, you got it. There's a whole story on hops at the Farmer's Museum.
I'll have to look into it.
You can get
it.
A lot more from there than you're going to get from me.
Well, I was just wondering how your family yeah. related to it. And
you know,
I do know that there was the hops blight.
Yeah, blue and mold.
The blue mold.
Mm-hmm.
And did that affect your family?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, it affected anybody that was into hops. I mean, that was hops was a very good, lucrative business.
Mm-hmm. But your family was doing other things.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay. Interesting. So how many generations back do you think your mother's side of the family goes in Cooperstown?
Okay, it would be... my grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother on that side.
Wow.
On my mother's side.
And they came originally to farm?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Irish. And I don't know when the family came out. Haggerty, Finnegan's. It's Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's side goes way back in New Jersey. And my would have been my great-grandfather was a famous Shakespearean actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In America?
In America. That was pretty unusual at that time. Yeah. Went to Italy. He traveled.
Oh.
He had 10 children. And he lived in Washingtonville in New Jersey. And he bought a farm, beautiful farm. They called it a farm, but it wasn't really. It was like a gentleman's farm. And he would go away for a whole season. And I'm going back quite a few years and going over to Italy. And he was not there the night that Booth was shot. And I think the play was As You Like It, the night that Booth shot Lincoln.
And he was there?
He was not there that night.
Okay. But he was in that
he was in
troop.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's what it was troop. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. His obituary is unbelievable.
Did you ever want to act?
No. A big show off. Maybe that's where I got it. I don't like to sew. I can't paint. I like doing things, though. I mean, I'll tackle most anything.
Oh, yeah. So I guess we've talked about this a little bit, but you used to work at the Farmers Museum. And I know that
that was 27 years.
That's a long time. And there you did a lot of those type of things, like sewing and things like that. Can you tell me
a little
bit
about it? No, I didn't do the sewing. Okay. No. I did candle making. I liked working there, too. I liked taking the kids around, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, the supervisor left, and next thing you know, they asked if I would be supervisor, and yes, I enjoyed that, too, and I enjoyed the people that I did the hiring of most of the museum teachers that came, and I don't ever remember having any problems or, well, got along together.
Great. How did you get the job there originally?
Because the gal before me quit.
But when you first got there, you weren't the supervisor, right?
No. I was a guide.
And you were interested in it, or why did you get a job there?
Why I got a job there?
Yeah.
Well, because Peter started kindergarten. So I had both boys in school. And this gal who was up there as a museum teacher, she said, "You know, I think you'd really like this job." She said, "Why did you come up and put in an application?" Well, I did, and I did. I liked it right away, and it was a lot to learn, really a lot to learn, because, again, I didn't know too much about the farming and thing, only what I'd heard from the parents. I know I keep saying I loved everything, but I have to say I think I loved everything I did. I was there for 27 years. Good people up there. Wonderful learning processes. I mean, and we were very lucky in having always good speakers, and we went on trips and learned a lot. Actually, that's how we started the winter program up there, by one of the trips and seeing some of the things that were being done. And Bruce Reinholdt and Milo Stewart are my bosses. And Bruce was really wonderful. And we came back and we just decided maybe we'd try this. And I think we took in, I think we did it for 3 days to start out with. And then I know during the summertime, we took 300 kids a day.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'd get on every bus and talk to the kids before they got off the buses. And teachers. And I got along pretty much with most everybody, I thought.
Where did you take the trip that inspired the winter program?
Oh, we had gone to Winnsburg. We'd gone to New York. We went to Niagara Falls at one time. There was many trips that we took.
So,
and we all put in some money, but the bus was paid by the museum. And then it got to the point where the buses were too expensive and couldn't do it. I still think they do take a trip once in a while. And I think there's a trip coming up for Rome being set up there. Because I was thinking about doing it, and then I ended up putting money to the car and said, "Well, there goes the trip to Rome."
Next year.
Yeah.
So what were your daily duties like at this job at the Farmers Museum? What did you do exactly?
I scheduled the guides.
Okay.
I had to schedule the guides, made sure workshops were set up. I would get up there early And now you can't do it because you got all kinds of alarms up there. But I would go into the Bump Tavern and get the candle making started early, early in the morning to get that wax all melted down and just get the workshop started and then go back and meet the kids, talk to the teachers, and get the guides. That's crazy because some days, you know, you get a phone call, I can't come in today. And that might have been two people that do blacksmithing. And then I had to rearrange everything last minute to get somebody else off there to get on the blacksmithing. And then I had to put this one over here because she only knew this part. And that was about it. And
what were the different stations that you had? There was candle making?
Well, there was the blacksmithing. There was candle making. There was paper making. There was a print shop. There was the farmhouse, and the farmhouse was nice, but most of the farmhouse was done by the people that worked at the farmhouse, along with the museum teacher. Spinning and weaving, a lot of the guys learned how to do some of the spinning. It was a lot of learning. There.
Which one was your favorite?
Which one was my favorite? I think I truly believe talking to the kids, meeting the teachers. We had an introduction that was fun. And I know you'll get a big kick out of this. I know that Bruce asked me one time, he said, you know, graduate students want to know what the introduction is like. And I said, okay. And he said, you want to do it? I said, yeah. I said, I'll do it. And I'm saying, oh, geez, I don't want to do this in front of the graduate student. So I said to Bruce, I said, okay, Bruce, how do you want me to do this? He said, why don't you do it just like you do with fourth graders? So I said, okay. So when I got through, and of course, then they critiqued me. Oh. And one of the comments was, she treated us just like we were fourth graders. I said, Ruth, didn't you tell him? He said, no. I said, I didn't either. I was such a letdown. Mm-hmm. Then later they found out, and the one that wrote it came up and said something. I said, I probably should have told you that. I was going to treat you just like fourth graders. That was fun.
So you created the winter program. What was that like?
I wouldn't say I created the winter. I was there when it was created and thought about, yeah, I was there when that came about. And through Bruce Reinholdt and through a lot of the museum teachers, we all worked about it. And we thought, well, geez, you know, you can't do candle making for that length of time. You can't do the paper making for that length of time. And, oh, pottery, I forgot we had pottery, too. So we had three stations, the bottom, Bump Tavern, basement.
Oh, okay.
So, and we'd work them 15 minutes in each station. So they each got to take home a little piece of paper, and they got home a candle, and they would take home a piece of pottery.
That's great. Mm.
No, that was about it.
Did you ever work at the Fenimore?
Did some reading of paintings with the kids over there, but not an awful lot, because mostly you had the Fenimore House teachers, and they were trained to do that over there. But we did work with reading of paintings on the Farmers Museum side, too. But it was a great job. Every job I had, I loved.
That's great. How do you think that the Farmers Museum has changed since you worked there? Or since you started?
Well, I love the church where it was before. And the church is where all the farming is done now, way down. It was not the greatest place for school groups because you almost had so much time with them. And it would be, if they were going to miss something, it would be the teacher that say, well, we'll have to skip the church. Because from the farmhouse down to the church was a little bit of a walk and then back, and you lost some time there. I know through their research and everything that the church would have been in more in the town. But when you drove down that lake road, and all of a sudden there is this church, and there was a pond in front of the church. It was beautiful. But I know because of research why it was moved, and that had to be done. I got to say, everybody would come into Cooperstown. Oh, that church there was so beautiful when we went by it. And then the Otisaga, that's gorgeous. And there's a lot of people, unless you go to the Farmers Museum, you don't even notice a church now. But I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of buildings. And yeah. We didn't have those buildings there like that.
So, do you think that it's good that there's more buildings, or?
Well, it all goes, I guess, to the research and why they're there. I'm not that educated in why are all those buildings there, and there's got to be a reason. And I don't know. I thought we were a nice small museum before, and very warm to the kids and everything. How much time school kids have to go on all those buildings? I don't know. I mean, we had about two and a half hour tour with kids. And you really had to move to cover the buildings that we had. But now they've all got more stations too, and you can, you know, one building, I know we used to have to wait outside sometimes, and we were talking outside because there'd be a group inside. But no, that's the difference, I see.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, it's done for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, do you think that the kids really understood about the farm and things like that? Do you think, I don't know, I was thinking about it, and you knew about the farm because you had been to the auctions and things like that. Was it hard to teach the kids about how they made things? Or
no, I really think kids were interested. I really do. I think if somebody asked, what's your favorite class? They said, probably fourth and fifth graders are like the best.
Mm-hmm.
I said, time to get to third grade. They ask questions, and I said, before you can even answer them, they've got you another question going. I said, so they haven't even listened to the answer. Fourth graders seem to be pretty inquisitive about things. And again, it was how it was presented to them. If you had a lousy group and they came along, there was groups that you wished had never showed up at the museum, but you'd get somebody in that group got something out of it. Maybe not all of them. And you knew, as soon as you met the teacher, you knew whether you had a good group or not.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So what about kids nowadays? Do you think that it would be the same if you were working there now?
That's hard to answer. I don't know. I think the kids probably are a little more educated on a lot of things because of TV.
Mm.
I mean, the history program That history program is wonderful. And I still think if we had something like that when